At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're talking quarterbacks right now. And I'm just thinking, so if you're an NFL franchise right now, and it's out there, and it is out there, the Seattle Seahawks, if you blow them away, you can get Russell Wilson. And there's talk about, like, you know, 3 to 4 first-round draft pick type thing blown away. All right? Deshaun Watson is not going to play for the Houston Texans. Now, the thing is, no one's going to hold out and not get paid $35 million. So it's a weird situation in Houston, but Deshaun can make it very difficult. And if it really gets hostile, you know, Deshaun could just fake an injury. He can show up and, you know, be a jerk. He can show up, not talk to anybody, and just say, you know what, I'm hurt. I can't do this. I don't think he wants it to come to that yet. After everything that's happened in Houston, I don't think Deshaun Watson, I don't think there's any turning back. They're terrible. They've gotten rid of everybody, and they suck. They don't have any draft picks. The players hate the owner. It's a bad situation. Russell Wilson isn't like, you know, it's not the same type of animosity. Russell Wilson is just, this is sort of this Brady thing. Man, we go back to the interview I did with Tom Brady's father, Tom Brady Sr., a couple of years ago, and he called it. He said, Gabe, Tom won't finish his career with the Patriots. I was almost blown away at the time. He said, they'll think he's too old, and Tom will still have something left, and he'll be playing somewhere else. And I said, how about San Francisco? And he said, oh, God, no, we hate them. And so, you know, this it's coming. But as far as Deshaun is concerned, it's a problem. And I talk about this when we talk about superstar baseball players. All right. Superstar baseball players that want like $300 or $400 million and stuff. You know, look at Bauer. There's not a ton of teams that can do it. So you might be a big star and you're going to think everyone's lining up for you. No, not really. There's like 2 or 3 teams in a league that actually spend money. So it's not a big market for you. And Deshaun Watson's in this one of these situations where it's like, yeah, Deshaun, all right, we get it. You hate us. You don't want to play for us. But you're a star quarterback. He's young. And we're not going to give you away. And people don't want to give us 4 first-round picks for you. Bring it.
We are the first 24-hour network giving you the most extensive fantasy sports and odds coverage of all major sports.
Get on the grid.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As you continue listening to Sports Grid, ask yourself
and be honest.
Am I listening
enough?
Probably not.
16 hours a day.
That's all we ask. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Nobody wants to hear the nonsensical ravings of a loudmouth malcontent.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. Man, this stuff's just crazy with this quarterback stuff, man, in the National Football League. I can't, like, it's blowing my mind. Like, the more I think about it, I'm like, really? I'm like, wow, like, like Russell Wilson, you know, Matthew Stafford's on the Rams right now, Deshaun Watson. So just quickly about Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's not a diva, all right? Deshaun Watson's not a diva. Look at that franchise, guys. Like, they basically, they're like the Detroit Lions and the New York Jets combined. You know what I mean? Like, everything that the Houston Texans do is bad. Like, every move they make is bad. Like, every decision they make is the wrong one. It's like Costanza. They need to start doing the opposite. Like, everything they do is, like, wrong. And, like, they offend their players. Like, you know what I mean? They, like, just, like, think about it. If you're Deshaun Watson, you're, like, 25 years old, you're a stud quarterback, you're in this, you're on this team that was good, and then they trade one of the best players in the league and best wide receivers in the league for a over-the-hill beat-up running back. All right. Well, you know, you're down this year, but hey, at least we have the third pick in the draft. No. O'Brien also traded the pick. The pick is gone. Like, so, like, to add insult to injury, Deshaun Watson wants to get traded to Miami. Miami could actually give up the third overall pick in the first round of the draft, and it's Houston's pick. Can you imagine that, Matthias? Like, that's how bad Houston are. Like, they would actually, like, get a pick back that they gave up, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, ultimate uselessness. Not to mention, the players think the owner's racist. Like, I could go on. Oh, yeah, J.J. Watt's gone now. Like, there's nothing there. And you want Deshaun Watson to do what? To get beat up for the next 7 years? Because, what, you paid him? Like, well, why would he do that? Like, why would he do that? Like, Deshaun has a right to get the hell out of there.
They got to rebuild from scratch. They got to trade Deshaun Watson, get as much value as they can from him, and then just restart the whole thing. Get everybody that doesn't want to be there out. It's a fresh start. They're not going to win with him.
Well, no, they haven't won, and they're not going to win now with no talent. So there's no choice. But at the same point in time, they're smart for not panicking. I will give them credit for this. Dude, you've got a very, very hot commodity. The draft is still like 60 plus days away, 62, whatever it is now. It's going to start to get serious soon, but there'll be teams in the mix here. You got to wonder about the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. All right. And I guarantee you right now that Jerry Jones sees that Russell Wilson has the Dallas Cowboys on the teams that he's willing to get traded to is intriguing him. Right, we don't know about Dak Prescott and his injury. Grinch is asking about the New Orleans Saints. Well, Drew Brees hasn't officially retired yet, although the fact that he was playing golf with Tiger, or he was supposed to earlier in the week, kind of, you know, hang out with Justin Herbert. I think Drew Brees kind of knows he's done, so Drew Brees is done. He's not playing, right? I don't know. When there's fans back, do they have him take a snap in uniform once and he has some retirement and he brings his kids on the field for 16 hours and they stop the game again? Probably yes. I don't know. Wouldn't shock me. But I think Sean Payton is like a dude in a bar, Grinch. He's a playboy. He's Hugh Hefner at the Playboy Club. I think Sean Payton, the quarterback guru, is just looking around the room right now, dude. And he's like, yeah, you know, what about him? And yeah, what's going to happen with him and this here? And what about the ramifications there? And I think he's looking around, but he's got Jameis Winston. And Jameis, listen, Jameis played for $900K last year. It's not happening this year. You're going to have to pay him for real. Yet it doesn't seem like teams are running and lining up for Jameis Winston right now, which is kind of whatever to me. If I was the Colts, I would have preferred having Jameis Winston to Carson Wentz. I wouldn't have had to trade anything. Jameis Winston isn't going to get $47 million for the next 2 years from me. Jameis ain't getting $1 million, but Jameis doesn't have any leverage to ask you for $50 million for 2 years. If you're the Colts, you just paid Phillip Rivers $25 million. Now you're paying Carson more than that. Man. I'd rather spend, like, I would say, listen, Jameis, I'll give you a 2-year deal for $32 million, 16 each. You're lowballing them, but whatever, it is what it is. And even maybe I'm being nice at this number, but Jameis Winston's getting screwed over. Right? The guy is a good quarterback. All right? He's a good quarterback. He had a drinking problem when he was younger. He doesn't drink anymore. He had eye laser surgery. He can see better now. He's in much better shape. He's made much better decisions off the field. Jameis Winston deserves to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Why do some of these teams decide otherwise? Hey, it is what it is. But I think the Saints are just looking at the big picture right now and seeing, you know, how things are going to fall into place. As we stated, look, Russell Wilson has the Saints on the list. So, you know what I mean? There's a lot of moving parts here right now. There's a lot of moving parts. But the New York Jets really hold the key to everything. Because the Jets do have the draft capital and leverage to make a move. Right? The Jets could pull it off. Like, the Jets could pull this deal off with the Texans easily. Right? They could give him Sam Darnold. They could say, listen, you've got a young quarterback here. Darnold doesn't even make any money. Darnold makes $4 million this year, guys. Like, that's why teams like Darnold, people will take Darnold. He makes $4 million. So like, say, if you're Houston, it's like, all right, we got a quarterback for $4 million. We get the Jets' second overall pick in the draft. I think the Jets have another pick later on. You can give them the second round at the top of the second round, etc. You can give them next year's first round. And what are you really losing if you're the Jets? All right, so you lost second pick this year, and you just got Deshaun Watson. Well, we don't have a first-round pick next year. Yeah, we have Deshaun Watson. Right? Like, you know, there's a lot in the air, man. Dak Prescott's a player that people aren't talking about much. Dak is a player that people aren't talking about much. Like, is it just locked in? Is it just locked in that the Cowboys are going to give Dak Prescott all this money coming off of the injury? I don't know. I'm not so sure. So listen, last night we talked about NBA Top Shot. And I'm not going to bring it up tonight because I don't want to start a riot in our chat. Things got hostile last night. People were very fired up. Oh, it's the stupidest thing ever. And like I said, I personally would not spend $100,000 on an NBA GIF highlight cube. No, I wouldn't. But the fact is, it's a hot financial trend right now that I understand. I get it. I wouldn't do it. But the same thing about memorabilia. I wouldn't pay $50,000 for a Babe Ruth baseball, but people do. You know what I'm saying? People do. So this is something, this is the new cash grab of the day. This is courtesy of Twitter, which I like Twitter. So I'm not calling out Twitter for this, but Twitter is exploring adding a new feature that would drastically change the sports world. The social media giant announced Super Follows, a feature that allows a user to charge platform users for a super follow that grants these special followers access to content that regular follows won't receive. And basically, athletes would look to cash in on this.
30 seconds.
Right, so athletes could have premium content and control their own media content. Which, you know, I think, you know, listen, the direction we're going for. Everyone wants everything for free. So anytime anybody hears money or whatever, people flip out. Whatever, Twitter's giving you a free product. If they want to come up with a couple of hustles along the way, it is what it is. My only problem with this is athletes are the most boring followers. They're like, who, what athlete tweets anything cool? Spencer Dinwiddie? Bring it.
Look, you have a simple choice. Keep listening and get the winning edge, or don't.
And wish you had.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's only ever been one thing in your life that's been there for you. It's meant memories, family, friends.
And yeah, we'll say it.
Fun. Welcome to your home for talking sports. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Don't
The late night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenz. We've talked a lot of basketball tonight, but we can never talk enough hoops, and we can never talk enough hoops enough with our main man, Pete Yiannopoulos, former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen, RDS television analyst, steps up. And then, Pete, it's always a pleasure, my man. There's been a lot of talk this week about the All-Star game, All-Star snubs, All-Star reserves, and everything else in between. What was your initial thoughts when you saw that Devin Booker was not selected as one of the reserves to the All-Star team?
Well, Booker's having a real solid year. I think he's a guy that's starting to understand that winning is a lot more important than just putting up stats. And when you bring in a guy like Chris Paul, the wins are going to come and you're going to learn how to be a real professional. At the same time, Paul has been the catalyst of why Phoenix has the fourth best record in the Western Conference. With all the respect that I have for Devin Booker, does he deserve to be an All-Star? Yes. Should there be more All-Stars? Probably, but there's only 12 that could be voted in. You could argue Paul George being in there and Kawhi with the Clippers. How can you go wrong with Utah having Gobert and Donovan Mitchell? Right, probably Jordan Clarkson deserves some votes and maybe should have been in there as well. But I think Booker is a guy at the end of the day got in anyways because Anthony Davis is injured. But I think Devin Booker's career, it's going to be really revolved around what he does in the playoffs. And first, he's got to get there. And I think Phoenix is on the right track to do get there. But at the same time, getting 70 points at Boston and losing a game means nothing. Stop complaining when you got double teamed in the summer playing pickup ball. Go represent your country. Go represent your country. Go learn and be, follow the path of the great, Kobe Bryant and the Michael Jordans and the Magics and represent Team USA. But hey, I'm being a little bit hard on Book. But hey, listen, nothing's easy. But again, if he wants to be considered one of the elite players, it's all going to be in the playoffs. Well, he'll be in the All-Star game.
And there's one thing, Pete, that I've noticed about the All-Star selection process. And the players do have a vote in it. The coaches have a vote in it. So I find it interesting that there seems to be a body of work thing to it, right? And I totally get it. And it's like, you know what? Yeah, Booker, you're good. Trae Young, yeah, you score this many points. But a lot of people score points in this league and win. A lot of people score points in this league and, oh, yeah, happen to play defense. A lot of, other guys have been doing this for a long time. And it's almost like Sabonis. Like, look. It's funny, though, like everyone cries about it's funny, like everyone freaks out about Booker. Man, De'Aaron Fox's numbers are pretty much the same thing. He's right there. Boy, he's not winning. Yeah, he also doesn't play with DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul. Right. And it's a different situation. You could argue Sabonis, had the numbers. Pete, Sabonis is second in the league with double doubles. So 23 plus double doubles, second in the league. The other five guys in the top six are all-stars except him. But it's like, hey, kid, you haven't done it long enough. You're hurt. And no, you've got to do it more. I felt the same way about Trae Young. Trae Young scores points, but he's not an all-star. He's not one of the best players in the league. He's a good young player. And that's saying something, right? But he's not one of the best players in the league. But let's have the conversation, Pete, about should the All-Star rosters be expanded? I know a lot of people would roll their eyes initially at this, but let's put it in perspective. In 1950-51, that's when they played the first All-Star game. There were 110 players in the league on 11 teams. There were 20 All-Star spots, 10 guys per team, 18.2% of the league. All right, let's move into the 80s. Into the 80s, there were 23 teams in the league. 253 players. There were 22 spots available, 8.7%. Let's fast forward to where we're at right now. There are 30 teams, 510 players in the league, 24 players in the All-Star game. Only 4.7% make the All-Star game. So I know a lot of people think that, oh, everybody makes the NBA All-Star game. No, they don't. They don't. It's damn hard to make it. Shouldn't we expand the rosters a little bit for the All-Star game? I'm for it. How do you feel?
Those are great statistics, Gabe, and I wouldn't expect anything less from you trying to really get into the grain in an All-Star game.
Nothing but facts. And how we can look at nothing but facts, my man.
Tangible facts. But here's my thing. I think that if your coaches you agree with expanding their rosters. If you are players, you obviously agree. I think the only people that will disagree are the owners, because players have in their contract clauses that if you make the All-Star game, you're getting bumped up with a significant amount of money. But having said that, I think initially the coaches would want that because they don't want their guys playing a lot of minutes in that All-Star game, right? It's a grind during the regular season. This will get guys more of an opportunity to rest. But I'm all for it. I think they should go up to at least 14, get two more guys, if not 15 guys. Because as you mentioned, right, this is the classic point of, hey, more teams, more players. And I think you'll always have guys and teams and fans are going to be really outraged that their guy didn't get in. And there were so many players that were deserving of it. And it's changed in the past, where in the past, it was always based on winning. You could never get in an All-Star game. You will never be voted in if you had a losing record. Right. And now we're seeing, with all the respect that I have with Nikola Vucevic, right, but the Orlando Magic are 13-19 and he gets in over Fred VanVleet, who is averaging 20 points a game, one of the best defenders in the NBA, top three in steals, top threes in deflections, plays both ways, guards the best player on the other team. The Raptors were 14-7 in their last 21. They're the fifth place team. And then the Celtics got two players in the game, and they're under 500. And then Julius Randle, for the love of God, for New York Knicks. He's having a great year, but the New York Knicks get an All-Star? Man, lots to talk about. But again, let's expand the rosters.
You know, and I don't think expanding the roster is going to water it down, because as Pete just stated, not to mention Fred VanVleet plays the third most minutes in the damn league as well. Come on, right? And is one of the best defensive players. That's another thing, too, which people just want to ignore. And I've heard people, well, you know, if I would take anyone off the team in the West, maybe Rudy Gobert. Well, you know what? You mean the best defensive player in the NBA right now? You want to sell? You know, this is not a video game, right? It's not a video game, but guys, the rosters are now 17. You know, it used to be 12. Regular season in the old days, 12 players on an NBA team, right? You know, old days, 10, whatever, but old days, 10. But our days, you know, the Bulls era and all this, Pete, it was 12 players, right? Modern era, 15. 15 guys that never play. Most teams don't go, you know, deeper than 8 or 9 type of deal. But nevertheless, there's 15. Now, with the pandemic and everything, it's 17 with two-way players. 17. There's only 12 on the All-Star. I think 30 is a nice number, and then that's good enough. 15 players, per team in the All-Star game, and I think per conference, and I think and it won't water down the product. We're talking about good players. So who do you think besides Booker? Let me rattle off some of the guys. And you tell me which one that, he really did get screwed over. DeMar DeRozan having a great year, 19.8 points per game, 6.9 and 5 rebounds. So basically 27 and 5. Spurs overachieving. DeMar's having a good year. Mike Conley didn't get any love. De'Aaron Fox is a badass that puts up crazy, stupid numbers. I don't think Trae Young is an All-Star. Has Bam Adebayo played enough this year? Okay, maybe, you know what I mean? You can get into injuries and stuff like that. You got Fred VanVleet, Sabonis. Who do you think, I think this guy got screwed that people aren't talking about?
Well, the first guy I mentioned is Fred VanVleet, and I'm not saying this because I covered Toronto Raptors, but I do watch Fred VanVleet play every game. And this guy has brought it, the efficiency level on offense. And you've just mentioned, and we both did, what he does defensively. I think Sabonis is the first guy in the history of the NBA to average 25, 10, and 5 to not make the All-Star game. And the Indiana Pacers are top 5 in the East. I think that there's no question. How does Vucevic get in over Sabonis and Randall when you're looking at guys that are dominating on the court and their team is winning? Again, I'm a big guy, you know, on guys that win. If you're on a losing team, I mean, Zach LaVine is averaging close to 30 points. The Bulls are playing a little bit better. He deserves to be on it. A lot of guys. But I think when I look at the guys that you rattled off, VanVleet, Sabonis for sure. And on the other side, I think De'Aaron Fox definitely deserves to be in it. And you can make a solid case for DeRozan, a veteran who really does things the right way, Gabe. When you look at the career, the body of work of DeRozan, you know, he's never been in trouble off the court. The guy just comes out and plays. He's durable. He accepted the trade. You know, they basically, you know, said, hey, thanks, but no thanks, what you did for us here in Toronto. It was the right trade. But, you know, at the same time, he's put in good numbers and good work for the Spurs. So I think those four guys definitely. But I would go with Fred Sabonis and definitely the Aaron Fox having, you know, I think it's you know, almost shameful, but they're not in the game.
And the one thing just about DeMar DeRozan, they, you know, there are other players that are probably a little bit more deserving. I get it. But you look at DeMar's body of work, as I stated, 19.8 points, 6.9 assists, 5 rebounds. DeMar has really expanded his game, hasn't he? I mean, DeMar used to be sort of, you know, the ball would die with him. He was a jump shot shooter. He wouldn't take it to the rack. He wasn't a good three-point shooter. Didn't pass. I mean, in a fantasy world, nobody, in a DFS world, I remember, nobody want to take him because they'd be like, all he does is score. He doesn't get any rebounds. He doesn't get any assists. Totally different now. Facilitator, can run the point for you. Just a smart basketball player that you have to respect, Pete, as you stated, the way that he's handled his business and the fact that he's worked on his game and gotten better over the years. He hasn't just said, ah, whatever, you know what, I'm 100 million, I'm in the NBA, I'm good. I score 20 a game, I'm good. You know, he's expanded his game. And, you know, the Spurs really flying under the radar. All right, we'll take a quick break. I want to jump into a hell of a lot more with Pete Yiannopoulos. A lot of stuff to get to on the hardwood. Sports Rage Late Night, the Late Night Anger Management Basketball Game. Let's play it. You're in Point Blank Rage.
To be honest,
we should come with a warning label.
Caution.
24-hour sports talk
may cause mild addiction.
Get on the grid. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Lorenz. We're kicking it with my main man, Pete Yiannopoulos. We got to talk some college ball with a man who, of course, who would cut his teeth at UMass. But we're talking NBA right now. And listen, the trade deadline is coming up. And it's obvious that there's going to be rumors. Kyle Lowry's name is a name that keeps on coming up, Pete, over the last couple of weeks. Just because the Philadelphia Inquirer says something doesn't mean that it's going to happen. And we always talk about the national leaks and the national reports about what the Raptors want to do. A couple of days ago, it was the Raptors, oh, they want to get Porzingis. Oh, now it's the Raptors want to trade Lowry and Philadelphia want him and Lowry wants to be there. And as we've stated in the past, man, there are less leaks from the Toronto Raptors head office than there is from North Korea and Kim Jong-un, all right? Like, the Raptors do not talk. No one knows what their agenda is and, you know, what Masai ever has as his plan. But what do you feel about Kyle Lowry right now? Because it really is up to him. It's the last year of his contract. Does he want to retire Raptors? Does he want to stay a Raptor? Does he want to go play in Philadelphia? Does he want to go play, you know, somewhere else? You know, how do you think this is going to go down?
I've been on the case that I believe that Kyle would want to re-sign with Toronto if the money and the term makes sense. And I believe that Masai Ujiri and the general manager, Bobby Webster, want to bring him back. Now, they have to have an open mind. Masai is on records ever since Kawhi Leonard left that he wants to bring another championship here. Could this core of Van Vliet, Anunoby, Siakam, and Lowry bring you that? The answer is no. They need to upgrade. But at the same time, Kyle is such a consummate professional. He's meant so much to this franchise. But I believe that he could still be an elite player. He's another guy we haven't really talked about being an all-star snub, but you look at his stats. I mean, he's gotten in the all-star game with less stats over the years. Yeah. So I believe that I still think that they're going to find a way to bring Kyle back, because even though the Raptors have proven they could win without Kyle, just what he brings on the offensive end, what he brings on the defensive end, leads the league in charges, and that leadership factor and the way he could shoot that ball, I still think that they'll make moves where they could keep Kyle and then bring in another player that's going to try and put them over the hump in the East and compete for a championship. But if the right deal is made, Masai is proven with DeMar DeRozan, who was a fan favorite and one of the greatest Raptors of all time. If you can get yourself a Kawhi Leonard, or if they can get some really good young assets that they believe will make this team better and compete legitimately and tangibly for an NBA championship, then I think Masai and the Raptors will make that trade. But hey, Philadelphia, you're not getting Kyle Lowry for Korkmaz and a draft pick, right? The Raptors don't need that. they're here because their goal right now, the Raptors are, top five in the East. They started 2-8. They don't have a home. They live in out of hotels in Tampa, right? And they've been so injured, and they're still one of the best teams in the East. If they're healthy, and I said this game, and I'll tell you this, if Serge Ibaka is on the Raptors this year, the Raptors finish first in the East. The Raptors would finish first, 1-2 with Brooklyn. It's the same team, but this team knows how to play. And Nick Nurse, as we've seen, He's one of the best coaches in the game. But to answer your question, it's 50-50. But I think I'm leaning towards Kyle re-signing next year.
I think he's going to stay as well. And I find it, I sort of get, amused, and if not insulted, though, about, he wants to be on a contender. Like who? Like what? Philadelphia? Because they win every year, right? What I mean? Like the same contenders that the Raptors just beat, the Bucks 2 games in a row, and then the Sixers they beat, and Brooklyn. So it's just funny. We talk about it. The Raptors are one player away from being a load to deal with once again. You're exactly right. They're just undermanned right now. They lost Gasol and Ibaka, didn't really replace it, right? No offense to Baines. But I was hoping the Andre Drummond stuff, and it still might happen. But there's a lot of stuff in the air right now. So let me ask you, Pete. We'd like to talk about the MVP every week or every couple of weeks and check in with the odds. And LeBron's still the favorite. So remember, it went from 280, slam it. And then last week it was all LeBron's the ultimate lock. Now suddenly the Lakers losing a little bit right now. LeBron's at plus 170. Joel Embiid's getting some love, man. He's the second choice at plus 350. Nikola Jokic is plus 550. Luka Doncic is 11-1. Curry is 12-1. Is LeBron James still the slam dunk to win the MVP right now? Or potentially, if the Lakers continue to slide and lose games, does this hurt LeBron, in your opinion?
Well, personally, it's hurt, in my opinion. You're just seeing the value that Anthony Davis has with the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, 2 years ago, when Davis wasn't there, the Lakers with LeBron didn't make the playoffs. And again, take out LeBron, and the Lakers are not going to win a championship without him either. But I think if you have Davis with this core, they'll still be competitive. They'll be winning more games. I think for the Lakers, this is exactly what they need if they want to win a championship. They need to lose games, and they'll realize that, hey, LeBron, we need to rest you because we need you healthy with Davis. But at the same time, who's voting for the All-Star games? It's the media. The media loves the narratives. You have established and respected media personnel that have gone on record last year that saying, hey, I'm voting for the narrative. And I love the 36-year-old who's leading his team, and it's great to see. Do people will really want to vote for Jokic as an MVP? Or Embiid, I just don't see it voting for a center. I think the only guy that could really turn and move the needle here are two players. One will be Luka, just because he's just a fascinating player as a point guard at 6'7", and the things that he does is incredible. And the other guy is another narrative that the media loves, a darling, is Steph Curry. But he needs to win a lot more games and start putting up 15, 60 points. But I think at the end of the day, Davis will come back. The Lakers will win some games. And I think that LeBron is just going to be a great story. And I've said this before so many times. LeBron James has been on record so many times this year saying, hey, I want to win the MVP. Last year, game one, Western Conference Finals, they beat Denver. They ask him a question about the game, and LeBron goes off because Giannis won back-to-back. Why didn't I win? And the guy's complaining. They're 7 games away from a championship. He's complaining why he didn't win the MVP, and he's telling us, why did Marc Gasol win a Defensive Player of the Year 8 years ago? I should have won that, too. So you know where LeBron is at, but you can't criticize LeBron, because if you do, it's like you don't like the guy. But, hey, it's all good. Take the money on LeBron if you're going to pick for the MVP.
Yeah, you know what, though? At the same point in time, that's what makes – the competitor and who he is. Look, one of our guys, and I know you were a fan, Gary Carter. And I heard a great story about Gary Carter. And it was basically Ron Darling was walking in to he was in the players' parking lot. So he's walking into Shea Stadium. And he sees Gary Carter's kids kind of looking tired and stuff. And they're sitting on the hood of Gary Carter's car. They're alone. But you know, they're alone. They're sitting there. And they're filling out All-Star ballots. And Ron Darling goes up to them and says, hey, what are you kids up to? What's going on? And they said, oh, our dad's making us vote for him and fill out All-Star ballots. Right?
What a story.
There's Gary Carter. He doesn't need it. He's already an All-Star. But you know what? That's how competitive he is. He's like, kids, fill these out. And it was like a task. Like, they weren't like, yes, dad. Like, it was like work. Oh, God, man. They had to fill out, like, fill out all the chads, man. Punch out all the chads.
Oh, my God, Gabe. You just reminded me of my youth walking into the Big Gold Olympic Stadium and sitting down and seeing the All-Star ballots on our seat.
Oh, it was amazing.
And you could have voted, right, with the paper and pen.
I took it serious. I didn't just vote for the local guy. I actually took, like, the fan vote serious. It was before the internet, guys. So, yeah, they used to put the ballots at the stadiums, and it was like gold. You were so excited to get your hands on them. And then you had the fill-in votes, the write-in ballots. So people don't talk about – we talk about defensive player. And people don't get credit for it. But odds are up. NBA Defensive Player of the Year at FanDuel. Rudy Gobert is 2-1 odds, minus 210. Miles Turner's next at plus 350. AD's 8-1, plus 850. Ben Simmons, plus 850. But you want to talk about a slam dunk. I mean, how the hell does Rudy Gobert, the way the Utah Jazz are playing and the way that he's playing, how is he not the NBA Defensive Player of the Year? Minus 210. I promise you, Pete, next time we talk, this will be like minus 400.
Man, there's not many locks in professional sports, Gabe, right? And there's been a couple over the years. Michael Jordan in the finals. You can never bet against Michael Jordan. He's going to win. But I'd tell you one thing right now. Rudy Gobert, especially last year, he had a great year, but Giannis won the Defensive Player of the Year. Giannis won't get a three-peat MVP, even though he's playing better this year, and I doubt he's going to get Defensive Player of the Year again, even though Giannis is just incredible. But I think that right now, Rudy Gobert, one, he's the warden. He blocks shots. He alters shots. He's just a man amongst boys on the defensive end. And the Utah Jazz are the best team in the NBA with the best record. And I think they're going to continue to do that. So I think that narrative there is you know, I would consider seriously putting money down right now because Gobert and what he's doing, and you know, when he's going to play some of the big guys, right? Jokic and Embiid, he's going to want to deliver and solidify that. I think he's gotten a little bit of humble pie with all the experience that happened last year with COVID about a year ago and what he did with the reporters. And I think he's matured a lot off the court. And I think he's him and Mitchell and that veteran presence from Conley. I mean, the Utah Jazz are for real. Gobert is incredible on the defensive end.
It's a great point, Pete. And at the time, he was almost one of the faces of COVID. And it was almost like he single-handedly shut the NBA down. He spread COVID in Utah or something, right? And I think now that a year has passed and people see, the thing was unstoppable. It was just a bad joke at the bad time. It had nothing to do with anything, right? It is what it is. So we've only got about 2 minutes here, Pete. But it's like the smell. You know, you can smell it in the air. It's staying lighter, a little, later in the day right now. March Madness, hell, conference, the Horizon League Conference Tournament started. They started early. They couldn't wait. March Madness is around the corner. It's rapidly approaching. It's going down this year. It's happening. A lot of excitement. I'm looking forward to this as a Michigan fan. We've only got about a minute left now, Pete, but looks like Duke is starting to turn it up a notch right now. What do you think about the NCAA tournament, and do you think Duke is going to get in?
Well, it'd be great if we have a play-in game between Duke and Michigan State, right? Who would have ever thought that?
Wow. Tuesday night in Dayton? Wow.
Tuesday night in Dayton. Izzo and Coach K. That would be incredible. I mean, what's happened to the Spartans? How many managers has Tom Izzo fired this year and then hired him back and fired him again? not easy time for the Spartans, but the Big Ten is playing big-time basketball. Juwan Howard, you don't usually have ex-players being great coaches, and specifically in college, but you're seeing it here with Juwan Howard. Juwan has those guys playing well, difficult to replace Alleged and Beilein, but they have it all. Veteran experience, they can shoot the basketball. I think that Michigan definitely is a team to beat. I think Duke will definitely sneak in if they could, you know, get a couple of wins in the ACC tournament. But I think this tournament belongs to one team, and that's Gonzaga. If there's a year that Mark Few, and I'll tell you a quick story, he went to an Expo game with me at the Olympic Stadium when he was recruiting a player. But Gonzaga, Suggs, Nembhard, Kispert, they could turn the table, but it's tough winning it.
I've got Michigan. We'll see how the brackets play out, but I got Michigan and Gonzaga in the national championship game. We can talk hoops all night. We got to go. Thanks, Pete.
Always a pleasure.
Listening to the home of the winning edge.
It's easy to get.
Just keep it here. Get on the grid. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid is available on the radio, internet, TV, satellite,
and don't forget
our mobile app. So if you're not getting it,
you're just not trying.
Keep it right here. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Level 3 minute warning. And now the stretch they come. I am Renzi. Thanks to all of our guests. Mo DeKeel with us earlier. Of course, we had Pete Yiannopoulos. We had Joe Ranieri. We had Teddy Covers throwing it down with us. Tomorrow night, we'll lighten the load a little bit. It's Friday night. We got backed up today. Some great guests. Love the guests. We got a little bit backed up. It's the weekend. We've got a lot of stuff to get to, of course, on with the weekend card. Steve Merrill will join us. Oh, boy, from Virginia. Steve's going to have to move from Virginia. I hope people in Virginia don't take shots at West Virginia because Steve might have to move to Virginia to get a better phone line. So Steve will step up. All kidding aside, Merrill's been very good. His sound is always good, except there's been a drop-off issue. Yet Matthias blew my mind the other night and raised a very good point. I'm old school, so I never associate phones with the internet or power or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like landlines and phones don't have anything to do with electricity, right? But nowadays, with the modern era, a lot of these providers and stuff, everything's kind of digital. And, you know, some people are basically, their phones are attached to like the internet, essentially. So if they're internet waivers, there could be a drop issue. So we've got our tech team on it with Merrill. But you know what's a good positive sign, guys? Is all that stuff that was all Merrill's fault that we woke people up for. We had tech people on it in the overnight hours. They actually fixed a crackling sound that we had as well. So, you know what I mean? We woke people up every night this week, but the phone lines say they're sounding good. Guests sounded good tonight. Great, great stuff. Thanks, Matthias. So, yeah, tomorrow night we'll have Steve Merrill and Tony Finn. And it'll give us a lot of time to get to all of our picks, the UFC, all the craziness in the world, college basketball, full slate of college ball over the weekend, college football, baby. That's right. I'm not going to sleep. I've got research to do. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.